Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v intervju Radija Študent. Z vami bova gospod Gary Lucas. Hello, Gary.
Hey, how are you?
Well, busy.
Oh, I'm sick.
Busy being born.
Right.
In Mario B. Pogovarjala se bova z gitaristom Garyjem Lucasom, ki danes nastopa ob 8. zvečer v kinu Šiška na posebnem kino koncertu, oziroma nekoč smo temu rekli kino uho, ko se je dogajalo kinoteki. Nocoj bom obsedel tvoje truplo, This Night I Will Possess Your Corpse, kultni film kultnega brazilskega režiserja hororjev Josea Mojica Marinsa, ki si je nadel tudi umetniško ime Coffin Joe. So, Gary, welcome again to Ljubljana and welcome to Radio Student. We are listening in the background the music for your Golem, which was played by you in Slovenian Cinematheque more than 10 years ago, I think. Yeah. And now when I was preparing for this interview, I found out that actually you wrote it quite early, just a year after you were actually starting being active in music.
Well, I was busy being born.
Yeah,
right, 1989.
Yeah. 1989.
I got a lot accomplished in that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, was it your first soundtrack that you played publicly?
It was. It was a commission I received from the BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music, Next Wave Festival. And they said, we'll give you some money, not a lot, but we'll give you some money if you come up with a project with another art form.
Yeah.
Like it could be dance, it could be a play, it could be... So I said,
invisible music.
Yeah, of course. No visible means of support. Yeah. I said, I always liked film because when I was a boy, I was a big fan of horror films, particularly. Mm-hmm. I used to project them in the basement of my mom and dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
8mm horror films of Dracula and the Mummy, Frankenstein. And so I loved film music as well. And I had actually done a little bit of composing for the New York State Department of Forestry. I see you have magnificent woodlands all over Ljubljana. I'm very impressed with the scenery here. It's like so beautiful.
So maybe you could do some soundtrack to Ljubljana.
I'm available. I'd be available.
So yeah, we are on air now, so we are waiting for some commission.
Yeah.
So how many movies did you...
Now I have about seven or eight.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you, I do The Golem, I do the legendary Spanish language Dracula,
yeah,
which I'm going to play at the Jerusalem Film Festival in Israel on July 6th to close that festival. I do... this is part of what I call my Dirty Havana trilogy because I did the world premieres of Dracula and Coffin Joe and then this Louis Buñuel film, The Exterminating Angel.
El Angel
Exterminador, pardon my Spanish.
Okay.
I did them in the Havana Film Festival originally. Then I do a project called Sounds of the Surreal, which is me with three short French surrealist short films by René Clair, Fernand Léger, and Ladislav Staryevich, who's actually Russian but living in Paris at the turn of the century. Then I have another one called Monsters from the Id.
Yeah.
If you know your horror films, the monster from the Id is in the famous Forbidden Planet science fiction film. And what this is a collection of my personally scientifically selected absolute favorite clips of sound horror films. I'm doing a lot enhancing sound films with existing soundtracks like tonight.
So which is more easy to make music to, the silent movie?
I think it's easier to do silent movies because there you could just run away with, you know, and play whatever came to mind, and you know, you can make many interesting juxtapositions. When you're playing with a soundtrack, with dialogue and sound effects and maybe a little music on the track, you have to be really careful because you want to enhance the experience for the viewer.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to step on the original guy's toes by playing, overplaying or playing too loud or, you know, playing inappropriate cues.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an art form. I think I'm one of the...
originator.
Yeah. Practitioners and, you know, I'm not bad at doing this.
Of course not. You are not wearing headphones, but I do, and I just heard a piece of Wagner music which you have used in music for Golem.
Golem.
So,
yeah.
So is it this kind of practice quite often?
Yeah.
That you put some...
I do like to quote, because you see, I'm trying to approach these soundtracks in the spirit of the original silent movie accompanists. Normally you'd get a instrumentalist like a pianist, perhaps, playing in an old kino. And often in the scores they would use, they would throw in snatches of popular music of the day. You know, in the comedies, if the comedian like Charlie Chaplin was sneeze or cough or slip on a banana, then they would play "Yes, We Have No Bananas," right? Or something. So I like to do ironic juxtapositions. In The Golem, I use the Wagner Ride of the Valkyrie, particularly in a scene where there's a declaration of war on Jewish community.
Yeah,
they put a notice that to watch out, Jews. And so it's a foreshadowing because, as you probably know, Hitler's favorite composer was Wagner. Now, you know, some people have a problem, many Jewish people. I find music to be music, and politics is politics. So
I played a funny cumbia version of Valkyria.
Oh, really?
Just recently.
I want to hear that. They did a version?
Yeah.
I want to hear that. It's okay.
How much time do you need to...
To prepare these
to
things?
Prayer,
a long time. I mean, I really do, it's an intensive labor.
Like many years?
Well, no, but let's put it this way. Before I will premiere one of these scores, I must have looked at the film I'm working with, you know, 20, 30 times to really familiarize myself with each sequence and to try to match music. And what I do is I mix my themes, which are composed themes, with improvisation. And I change it around often while I'm playing. I edit in my head. I do a lot of fast cuts. This keeps it fresh. That's why I don't get bored ever playing like The Golem. Now, The Golem I've done literally maybe 1,000 times. Could it be? Yeah, probably. There was a time I toured that extensively. I did. You know, 100 shows of it in a year, maybe.
Do you have a favorite music composer?
Well, of classical or just all-time music?
Let's say classical.
It's hard to say, but I mean, I'm very partial, although you may not hear it in my playing, to Debussy, right? The French Impressionist. But I love Wagner, and I love Stravinsky. I like Bach a lot. I like the classics,
The classic,
I mean, I like modern music too. I'm not a snob.
Of course not.
But I'm, you know, my roots are in playing orchestral music. When I was a boy, in the same week I began playing guitar when I was 9. I also began French horn. I took a music test in my school and they said, "You will play the French horn." Because I scored perfectly on this test. Now, they didn't really examine the fact that I had very little lip You need a real good fat lip to play a good embouchure to be able to really play the horn. So, but I stuck with it. You know, I did this 7 or 8 years. Then the band leader was a right-wing conservative fascist. He threw me out of the band for wearing sandals to the band practice. That was one reason. And then they caught me improvising on a march. How about that?
John Philip Sousa.
Something like a Sousa. And I thought I was enhancing it, like I'm doing with the film.
Like
tonight.
Monty Python did when they took...
Yeah, I was just jazzing it up. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. It was like, no improvisation, this is symphonic music.
Yeah,
fascist.
So do you have an idea what is good and what is, this is more important to me, bad film music?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't tell you precisely what the criterion is, other than if I hear it and I don't like it, I will cringe internally.
So do you stop watching the movie if the music is really bad?
Yeah. I mean, I find it annoying. For instance,
because
I don't mean to label anybody single, and I don't know the name of this person, but I can tell you. I saw a documentary in New York 3 weeks ago called Room 237, which is about these crackpot theories of the Stanley Kubrick Shining.
What
the supposed conspiracy behind the film.
I just read about it.
Okay. I found the film fascinating and some of the theories really ridiculous but also interesting. But the music ruined this. It was obtrusive and loud and inappropriate. But someone could say the same about me. I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks. There's no right or wrong. Either you like it or you don't. I had a guy come to the Golem. You love the Golem? I love the Golem. A guy saw it in Prague and he said, I am the son of survivors of the camps and I hear murder in your music. I hear anger. We don't need this, you know? And I said, well, I'm sorry. That's how I feel when I'm playing it. So you can't please, you know, all the people all the time.
I remember, you know, when you were playing in Slovenia.
So somebody said to me that has nothing to do with German expression.
You didn't understand it, yeah.
But I said, that's the nicest thing anybody said to me all day.
Yeah. It was a film director.
Oh, well.
Old school.
He had to try and make his mark. They all do that. Let him come, I don't care. Impervious to, like, rejection. I would have, like, crumbled years ago. I wouldn't be here today.
Of course.
If I let these people, like, tell me what to do with music.
So, Gary, this night you will possess our...
I hope so.
...brains.
Your brains.
Playing to this horrible horror movie from José Mujica Marins. He himself was very pleased with...
He loved my score.
Yeah. How did you find it?
Well... This is very curious. I read about this film, and I heard of him in the 60s. There was a great magazine called Famous Monsters of Filmland. When you were a boy in America, when this magazine came out, it was an event. You know, they would have Gorgo on the cover. Then the next issue was The Bride of Frankenstein. Then Renfield, you know, Dwight Frye from Dracula. All these, like, classic characters from the old films. And they were very good with contemporary horror cinema. And there once, there was a spread in about 68, 67, 68 about this guy in Brazil. But this is before world cinema, really, you know.
And before internet, so
yeah,
you couldn't...
Yeah, so nobody knew. You could see some pictures and it looked interesting, but I didn't know what it looked like. About 7 years ago, channel surfing on IFC, which is the independent film channel, it's a good cable TV channel in the States, I came across this film and I was riveted. I said, this is the greatest horror film I've ever seen in my life. I thought I had seen them all.
So you contact him?
This is what happened. I'm a subscriber sometimes to Variety, Daily Variety. And shortly after seeing this film, there was a little piece. Variety is the Bible of show business, everybody. American Bible of show business.
I heard Weekly is better than Daily.
It probably is, but anyway, it was a cheap subscription. So.
Okay.
Then I got rid of it. It's just too much paper in the house, going unread. So there's an article saying they're going to make a new Coffin Joe film.
Yeah, in 2008.
It was announced. So I contacted it was a really nice woman named Bettina Goldman. Mm-hmm. And I liked that name because my mother's maiden name is Adele Goldman. Yeah. So I thought maybe I'm related to her. I don't know. You know, I wrote to her, I found her on the internet.
Yeah.
One-Eyed Pictures, based in Sao Paulo. And she said, oh, well, send me your music and let's talk. So we became friends, and she had a script. She said, maybe you can help me. I want Hollywood to produce the next Coffin Joe film. I said, really? Hollywood? Do you really think they know about Coffin Joe? I said, well, some of them do. They must be hip. So I suggested my former partner in crime, who's now a famous horror film actor, a guy named Bill Moseley. You know who Bill is?
No.
Bill is rated one of the top 10 living horror actors today, primarily because of his performance as Chop Top, a deranged Viet vet with a steel plate in his head in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 that Tobe Hooper did.
Yeah.
They remade it without Bill, unfortunately. Last year, it's terrible. And he's also the star of Rob Zombie's last two gruesome films, The Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses. Bill was my partner at Yale University, running a horror film society called Things That Go Bump in the Night when I was a young man. Mm-hmm. We used to terrorize people then. I have a whole history of this. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, the guy I did the Golem score with, Walter Horn, used to make musique concrète tapes to play and frighten trick-or-treaters. You know, they'd come ring the doorbell. We'd lean over them from a balcony above their head and they'd play our tape. Mm-hmm. Go away. We don't want you. Go away. You know, screaming. So, Coffin Joe is like right in this tradition. His soundtrack is like hysterical on this film. What passes for a music soundtrack is like just this assemblage of shrieks, moans, springs going boing, you know, cartoon sound effects, all sorts of stuff, percussion, weird stuff. And then Tico Tico, the great Brazilian song. Mm-hmm. Tico Tico, Tico Tico Me Fuba. So actually, I referenced Tico Tico. You'll hear a little Tico Tico. Yeah. When Coffin Joe listens on a music box in the film, I do a little Tico Tico.
Great.
So you see, I try and match certain things. I do. Mm-hmm. I don't just play a haphazard stuff.
So which is more scary, your music or the movie?
Oh, the movie. My music is user-friendly. Because in fact, I had a guy yesterday in Amsterdam. I played this twice in Amsterdam. And he said, I could just close my eyes. I hate that movie. I could just close my eyes and listen to your music. That's what he said. I loved your music. The movie is a product of a diseased mind, he said. Mm-hmm.
So, we know, and you told us a bit of your story. You have a special...
I love horror films. But old. Anything after about 1980, I'm not much interested in. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been exceptions.
Yeah, of course.
I love Let the Right One In, this...
Swedish,
The vampire film, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once in a while, I'll see something. But generally, they just ratcheted it up. The arterial spray of blood to such a gouging of eyeballs and maiming, and I don't, you know, you can only push this envelope so far, and then the whole bag of tricks just goes off a cliff.
Yeah,
it's not interesting to me, and it also, it's probably bad. I'm not a censor, but there's a part of me that really believes that if you show young people this stuff all the time, like a violent video game. It probably desensitizes them to real violence, which cannot be such a good thing, I would think, in a world.
Yeah.
Still, it's a free cut. It's a free capitalist playground, everybody. If somebody's making money and they can push this aesthetic on everybody, great, hey, okay.
So you must do on some romantic love.
I'm going to do a comedy next. I don't know. No, I think I'm sticking with the genre because I like it.
Have you ever tried to put some music to some...
Yeah, well, you see, like when I did the scores, I did a few. I did this aquatic ecology early in my career. I did some beautiful romantic music for and some bluesy music.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was in Variety for a score. I was cited, my music was cited for a score for the film, a documentary by the Maisels Company, the guys who made Gimme Shelter and Grey Gardens. Albert Maisels, his brother is dead, his original partner. Albert did produce a piece for HBO called Lali's Kin, or The Legacy of Cotton. Mm-hmm. Terrible title, right? Who's Lali? I don't know. Well, anyway, Lali was a big black matriarchal southern woman who, when they filmed, was alive. She's dead now. She had about 10 kids, and this documentary concerned her attempts to keep her kids together and educated despite the depredations of the Mississippi school system. In Mississippi to this day, you can be a young kid and your parents are allowed to take you out of school for months at a time to go work in the cotton fields and pick for cotton for 10 cents an hour, you know, for big cotton, king cotton. And the result is many generations of uneducated kids in Mississippi, because they're slaves virtually to this day to the cotton. They heard me playing Robert Johnson at on the radio, on public radio, and I got a call, an email. Hello, we're Maisel's Films. We loved your music. Are you available to come in? And do you live in New York? So back I said, well, yeah. After so many years playing in New York, I'm surprised you don't know that. But yeah, I can come up to your office.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there with my acoustic guitar. They sat me down. They said, okay, just improvise. And they were like, okay, that's the guy. We got to, you know. It was a good match. Mm-hmm. There was like romantic blues, minor key, a little bit dark. But some heart-wrenching music. You can see it. Folks, go to YouTube. Type in Gary Lucas, Lali's Kin. L-A-L-E-E apostrophe S. You can hear my score excerpts I put up, with the pictures, to the visual component.
Great story, Gary.
Well, some of the best things that happened to me were random. Man, you know, like somebody just accidentally heard this music.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were driving home and somebody was just tuning the radio. It's like how I found Coffin Joe. Oh my God, what the hell is this?
Yeah, but you knew about him.
I did know about him, but I finally connected to it, and I was like, this is the greatest horror film I've ever seen of all time.
That's it's the old story with the art in general, that the beautiful things can happen.
That's what you gotta keep out there. You gotta stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell all young artists. Don't expect any overnight success, and if you get it, you better really watch it, because you know, it could be a fluke.
Yeah.
People are being, all the time, we were discussing this, Machas.
Mm-hmm.
They're pinging you all the time. Buy this, listen to this, look at this. This is the newest, this is the best, the greatest, blah, 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 blah. There's no hierarchy of taste.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was, I wouldn't really follow it anyway. You got to find your own path, right?
Yeah.
You
got
to, like, just keep putting the work out there. Eventually, the good work rises. Sometimes it won't. C'est la vie, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know.
C'est la vie or c'est la shit.
Yeah, Blood Ulmer, who's a great jazz guitarist, James Blood Ulmer, I toured with him. He said to me once, Robert Johnson is shit. I said, what? He said, how do you know he was the best? That's just because they want you to think that. There could have been 20 other guys out in the bush, you know. They didn't get the breaks. It was a revisionist view of blues history.
Yeah.
But it could be true. I don't know.
He was just here recently.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, give him my best.
I talked to him, but it was...
Really?
Yeah.
Does he have some more kids now?
I don't know. Okay.
That's another story. I won't go with...
Yeah. So, actually, we are out of time.
Oh, sure.
You will have quite a lot of time tonight.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody come up, see me. I'll sell you a CD.
Of course.
I'll even autograph it. It's got to be worth at least, you know, a couple of bucks on the black market after I'm gone. Just kidding.
Okay. So thank you, Gary, for coming here.
My pleasure.
Today, Pogovarjal sem se, Mario B., z Gerjem Lukasom, ki zvečer igra na Kino Šestni predstavi z glasbo, avtorsko glasbo s kitaro, spremlja kultni film Josea Mužike Marinsa. Nocoj bomo posedel tvoje truplo This Night I Will Possess Your Corpse ali pa Esta Noche Encarnarei No Teu Cadaver. So, let's break it here because
okay.
I broke my tongue. Živjo.
Intervju Radija Študent.